Good morning, church. Good morning, visitors. I want to invite you to get your Bibles out and open them up to Acts chapter 2. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we recently began working our way through the entire book of Acts, and we're still very early on in the process. So we're in chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 37 through 41. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. We'll explain all this. We'll give the context in a moment. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, it was Luther who once said that his conscience is held captive by the word of God. And I pray that is the same for us. Lord, as we have this final Lord's Day of the year, Lord, and we preach and profess often that your word is our ultimate authority. Lord, I pray that we say that honestly and truthfully, and we even go into this new year committed even more to the authority and sufficiency of your sacred scriptures. Lord, as we work our way through this passage, let us prayerfully, we ask that the Holy Spirit would come and be our teacher and guide and apply this to our lives. Lord, there's so much here in these five or six verses. Lord, we need help in understanding them and believing them and putting them into practice. So we ask that the Spirit would come and do just that for us. In Jesus' name, amen. When is the last time you read the Scriptures or heard a sermon or participated in a Bible study, and you could sincerely say you were cut to the heart? That you were stirred by what you read or heard? When was the last time you saw God work in a big way in your life? Have you ever experienced any of these things at all? Some questions we all need to ponder. Going into this new year, this is what I'm praying for. I'm praying for this for myself, that I'd be stirred more, that I'd be cut to the heart more, that I'd be moved more. I'm praying for this for myself, I'm praying for this for my family, and I'm praying for this for our church. I want to ask you to join me in praying for these things. I desire for every one of our lives to be changed, enriched, and marked by the Word of the living God. I want to ensure our church is not, myself personally, my family and our church, is not just going through the motions, but we are genuinely seeking to be light in this dark world. I want to see the unmistakable and undeniable work of the Holy Spirit in every one of our lives. And I want to see the impact and consequences of that being an everyday reality. This is what takes place in our passage today when Peter finishes his sermon at Pentecost. In a single day, God added to their number 3,000 souls. Could you imagine? How about in a year? And I'm in no way saying that us pastors preaching on a single day is going to bring about the salvation of 3,000 souls. But what I am saying is the God that saved those 3,000 souls in one day is the same God we serve today. Now, as we work through these verses, as we go through them, let's go through them prayerfully asking God to apply these to our lives and give us a desire for similar things in our day. You pray that with me? Let's get into it. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" So here's the context. Peter has just, he's closing out his sermon. A bold sermon, a Christ-exalting sermon. And in his last sentence, before this, is in verse 36, and this is what he says. "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." What a way to end a message. He began his message by saying, "Hey, listen up, men of Israel, hear these words." Then he immediately went into preaching that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Scriptures. That this was all part of God's sovereign plan. And that they are responsible for crucifying Him. Now he has ended it once again by driving home the fact that this Jesus, whom they crucified, is both Lord and Christ. And then in verse 37, it says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. This is amazing to think about. These people, many of them, just went from demanding that Jesus be crucified to, upon hearing this message preached by Peter, they're cut to the heart. I believe we could use a good cut to the heart today. I asked in the beginning, when was the last time upon hearing a message or reading the Word yourself or being in a Bible study or something that you were actually cut to the heart, your spirit was moved? I know you can think, if you're a Christian, you can think of different times throughout your lives when God has done this. But when was the last time? Has it been recent? Sometimes I feel like we're stagnant. There's a famine in the land, as Amos says. The other day, I was scrolling through Facebook, and a little clip of a man preaching come up in my feed. And I shared it with a bunch of people, a bunch of my pastor friends, because he was preaching to a room full of pastors. The preacher's name is Richard Owen Roberts. Maybe some of you have heard of him. And he was talking about the difference between preaching and teaching. And God cut me to the heart. He stirred me in that minute clip of this man preaching his heart out. I think the biggest cut I've ever received was the day I believe God saved me. I've shared this story with you before. I'm sitting on my couch in our home in Rugby, Texas. And for the first time in my life, I'm actually reading the Bible, like, consistently. Sarah and I had gotten back into church, and God was working in our lives. And I'm reading Matthew, and I come to Matthew chapter 7. Y'all have heard this story. I just assumed I was saved because at one time in my life, I repeated a prayer after someone. And they patted me on the back and assured me of my salvation because I repeated a prayer. So my whole life, since that moment, I went thinking I was justified in my sin because one time I repeated that prayer. And then I sit on the couch and I'm reading the Bible for myself. And I see in Matthew 7 where Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And he says, on that day, many will say to me, but Lord, Lord, I did this in your name, and I did that in your name, and I did this in your name. And he will declare to them, depart from me, I never knew you. And that is a moment in my life I was cut to the heart. Just as these people are experiencing in Acts. I knew that before that moment, there's no way I was saved. I had no desire for godliness. I had never had a truly change of mind and heart regarding my sin. But that night, God broke me. He showed me, He revealed to me how heinous my sin really is. And how glorious His grace truly is. When's the last time you felt that cutting of the heart? Your soul being stirred. You know, we preach and speak of the wonder-working power of the Holy Spirit, but we often don't pray for it to happen. And we as pastors certainly fall into this all the time. We get so occupied with the everyday routine and responsibilities of ministry. We forget that one sermon can be used to change someone's eternal destination. Even one line in a sermon can be used by God to change someone's eternal destination. And of course, you as the church, you can also fall in the slough of going through the motions from time to time. It is a good thing to be consistently in church. You hear me preach about this all the time. Should be reading the scriptures consistently. Have a good prayer life. But are you ever cut to the heart while you're doing these things? Is your soul ever stirred? Are you ever overwhelmed by the Spirit's conviction in your life? We get in these droughts sometimes and they can last a really long time. We do all the right things. But it is all just dry, tiring. And we may even pray for God to send rain for a little while, but eventually that'll even stop. Let me say this to you. If you are in a season of drought, going through the motions, lukewarm, if you found yourself in a place where you are not expecting the Holy Spirit to work, please let this be an encouraging wake-up call to once again be stirred by the Word. Be cut to the heart. Be fervent in prayer. And expect God to send rain on a famine land. We desperately need to see God move in our personal lives, in our church, in our country. And you may be thinking, preacher, I think everything's in our church is going really well right now. You are correct. I agree with that. But that's the danger. Why is that dangerous? Because when everything is good, we often lose sight of how desperately dependent upon God we really are. And this is when complacency sets in. Here's what I'm going into this next year. I don't just want us pastors to stand up here Sunday after Sunday and preach to you a well-crafted message. I want to see God work through us, to break us if necessary, and use messages we preach to cut hearts, to revive souls, and to bring rain to our scorched hearts. I don't want us to preach sermons that sound good to the ear. I want us to preach sermons that crash into your hearts. I don't want all of us to go an entire year once again going through the motions. I want us, upon reading and hearing the Word, to respond the way these hearers are responding to Peter and the rest of the apostles with this question: what shall we do? They hear the truth proclaimed boldly. They're cut to the heart, and their response is, what shall we do upon receiving this information and believing it? That should be our response. We don't need man-made manipulation techniques to get people to respond to the Word. What we need is the Holy Spirit using the Word to cut our hearts, to revive souls, and to bring showers on a scorched land. This is how we all need to be responding to the Word upon hearing it. What shall I do? What does this mean for my life today? How can I immediately implement and apply this to my life? For Peter's audience, this is what he tells them. Verse 38. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Peter was preaching to people who still at this point had rejected Christ. They have rejected the Lord. They believed Him to be a blaspheming false teacher, because the things He preached went against their man-made system of righteousness and law. Peter knows his audience. He knows the laws. He tells them, "Hey, repent. What shall you do? You shall repent." That is to change their minds regarding their sin, and change their minds about who they believe Jesus is, and be baptized. For some of you in this room, perhaps that is the way you need to respond. Perhaps you've never come to a point in your life when you have truly repented of your sins and put your faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, this is how you need to respond. Repent, put your faith in the Lord Jesus, and be baptized upon that profession of faith. For most of us in this room, by the grace of God, we have come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have repented of our sins and been baptized upon that profession. But let me remind you of this. Repentance is a lifelong thing that we do over and over again. The fact or the evidence that you have truly repented of your sin a long time ago is that you are still repenting of your sins today. It's not something we do one time and then move on to other things. Repentance is something we continuously do. So there are two responses to bold biblical preaching. The unbeliever is to respond in repentance and faith and follow that up with baptism. The believer is to respond with repentance and faith and a growth in godliness and a greater desire for the things of God. That is how, that is what we are to do. Look at verse 39. And it gets even better. Not only is this promise for you, but this promise is for you and for your children. And all who are far off. How many of you know that are far off from the Lord? How many of you have children who are far off from the Lord? Or grandchildren? Listen, the same God that saved these people is the same God that can save them. This promise is not only for you. It's for your children and for all who are far off. Everyone whom the Lord God calls to Himself. That's who this promise is for. You know, we are quick to write people off sometimes, aren't we? Like, I just don't, I know God, we say, we know God can save anybody. But there are some people who are so far off that we have the tendency to write off. No, God doesn't. God says everyone whom the Lord God calls to Himself will be saved. Verse 40, He keeps going. And with many other words, He bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." What we need to remember is that Peter is preaching to Jews in Jerusalem. And we do know this, that most of those Jews in Jerusalem remained in their unbelief. They still do to this day. But as God has always done, He's always preserved a remnant of people who actually have saving faith in Him. And so He's preaching to this smaller group in the context of a much larger unbelieving group. And He's saying, hey, you need to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. This has always been the call to the Christian life. Look and believe and act differently than the world around you. Christians can choose to be popular, or we can choose to be biblical, but we can't be both. Picking up what I'm throwing down? The world hated our Lord. They're going to hate us as well. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. I was having a conversation not this morning with a brother. And we were talking about young couples and how tough it is for young couples this day. And so many of them, especially our young women, are being indoctrinated with the belief that if they get married and have children, that's going to limit them for what they can really achieve in life. That actually they should seek not to have children. And this is an entire generation of young people are being taught this stuff. Whereas the word of God says, be fruitful and multiply. That children are a blessing from the Lord. They are a heritage from the Lord. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, blesses a man who fills his quiver with them. See, there's a crooked generation, a crooked world out there telling us one thing. And there's the Word of God telling us something else. Choose this day whom you're going to believe. Choose this day, whether you want to align yourself, you want to align your entire worldview with that of the world, or you want your worldview to be shaped and molded by the Word of the living God. You have to make a decision. Look at verse 41. So those who received His Word were baptized. Notice it was those who received the Word are the ones who were baptized. That is why we are Baptists. We repent and put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have received His Word. Therefore, we are baptized upon that profession of faith. And look at this. And there were added that day, about 3,000 souls. Now, I don't know how big the crowd was that Peter was preaching to. But what an incredible thing that would have been to see. And listen, you know what we don't find here at the end of Peter's sermon? We don't find every head bowed, every eyes closed, raise your hand if the Spirit's working on you. We don't see that, do we? We don't see some sort of manipulative things that man has created over the years to get people to respond in emotion rather than being drawn by the Holy Spirit. We see Peter preaching Christ crucified and a command to repent and believe it. And when we do that, God will work through it. He doesn't need us to add some kind of man-made silliness to it. God is powerful enough to save people without my help. Matter of fact, I need to say the Word of God, shut up and get out of the way and let God handle it. That's why we don't have long, drawn-out altar calls at the end of our services. I believe in giving people a time to respond to the preached Word. Peter commands it here. Hey, what shall we do? You need to repent. Be baptized. Receive the Holy Spirit. That is what we are here to do. I'm not going to stand up here and beg people to come down. Because all I'm doing is I'm trying to get people to make an emotional decision. No, I trust that the Holy Spirit, when the word is properly preached, will work. We may never see the fruits of it. That is tough sometimes. One of the hardest things about pastoring is preaching your heart out Sunday after Sunday and wondering if God's doing anything with it. But I believe He is. And it ain't because of me, it's in spite of me. Peter probably wondered the same thing. And God added to their number that day 3,000 souls. And as we continue through the book of Acts, He's going to add more and more and more. And the foundation, the common denominator in every single one of these instances is that the word of the living God is proclaimed and preached. This is the means God uses to call people to Himself. And so again, as we go into this new year, let us, upon reading the word, believing the word, praying, singing, gathering in our Sunday school groups and small groups, let's pray that God would cut us to the heart as individuals, that He would work mightily in our own families, and that would carry over into the church. And at this time next year, let's just see all that God has done in Lake Athens Baptist Church. You on board? Pray you are. We can all be better. Right? First and foremost, we need to be better Christians in 2024 than we were in 2023. I need to be a better pastor in 2024 than I was in 2023. You can amen that one too. It's okay. You need to be a better Christian, a better church member in 2024 than you were in 2023. Why is it? Because that is sanctification, church. That is growing in godliness, growing in holiness, being conformed more to the image of the Son. We need to pray for these things today and going forward, and expect God to do just what we're asking Him to do. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we'll begin this prayer now. I do pray that You would cut us to the hearts as individuals. If there is a famine in the land, You would send rain to come down on our scorched hearts. Lord, I pray that You would enrich our commitment to You and our own families, and our commitment to our families. Or that You would cut us all as families to the heart. That we would all have a desire to grow closer to You and closer to one another. And Lord, I pray that this pours into our church here at Lake Athens Baptist. Lord, there's no doubt that this is a loving church. I believe a God-honoring, Christ-exalting church. But Lord, we too can become complacent sometimes when everything is good. And so I ask that You would cut us to the hearts as a local church. That Your Spirit would come and do a mighty work in this place throughout the entire year. Lord, not for our glory, but for Yours. Lord, I pray that we stay committed to this for the entire year. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a time.